show you don't want to miss.
The Big E Sports Show
with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Stay tuned as Elissa goes up close and personal with some of the biggest names in the world of sports. From Dallas Cowboys Hall of Fame quarterback Roger Staubach to legendary broadcaster Pat Summerall. Think big.
Think big.
It's all happening right here on the Big E Sports Show.
Indeed, it is a very big weekend in college football, but right now we are going to turn our attention to the NFL, and we're going to take a look back at one of the most colorful decades in NFL history. Without question, it was survival of the fittest when you think back to the 70s and those early 80s, and we're going to celebrate the courage of those players that took the risk for the love of the game. I mean, what better timing? Hey, the NFL season, it got underway on Wednesday night, and it is a true pleasure to welcome into our show. He is an award winning sports writer. He has a brand new book out. It is titled The Last Headbangers, NFL Football in the Rowdy and Reckless 70s, the era that created modern sports. Kevin Cook, welcome aboard. Welcome to Texas.
Hi, Alyssa. Thanks.
It's great to have you on. And, you know, talking about this, there's been so many significant changes that have taken place throughout the years in the NFL. I mean, this is such a fascinating time right now. And it is amazing when you think about how much the game, the sport has evolved. And when I went through your book, it was a reminder of that. Tell us about, you know, the rowdy and reckless days back in the 70s and that era that created modern sports.
It is a remarkable period. And I've been fascinated with the way that today's NFL that totally dominates the sports scene was taking shape at that time. And in 1972, the year of the Immaculate Reception, Franco Harris, a rookie with the Steelers, was literally hitchhiking to practice in Pittsburgh. He had teammates who were carpooling to save money on gas. It cost 50 cents a gallon. The famous, already famous, first pick overall in the NFL draft comes along soon after, Terry Bradshaw, and he sells used cars in the offseason to make ends meet. It's such a different time. The rules are utterly different. You've got defensive backs just hauling off and smashing receivers going over the middle. You've got quarterbacks who are actually, in the words of those days, they call them, that quarterback was actually a football player. The players of the 70s think of today's quarterbacks as more of like designated hitters. But that's one way the game has changed. In many ways, today's players are bigger and stronger. The game's more complicated. But I think it was never as all-out, as vivid, and as colorful as it was in the 1970s.
You highlight Terry Bradshaw selling cars in the offseason, Franco Harris hitchhiking to practice. I mean, that's really hard to fathom. But you know what? These guys were only making, what, $19,000 a year at that time?
That's true. And if you happen to find yourself in the Oakland Hilton after a home game, you could have beers with the Raiders. They'd be sitting there. They love to hang around with fans. This doesn't really happen in today's NFL. Of course, the franchises had such vivid personalities, not just the dominant Steelers, not just the perfect Dolphins of the beginning of the decade, or the crazy rock and roll Raiders, but America's team in Dallas. The first computerized scouting player evaluation system, that anticipates a lot that's to come. So there's so much evolution going on in that period that's really going to turn the game into what we see today.
Kevin Cook's brand new book that is out is titled The Last Headbangers, NFL's Football in the Rowdy and Reckless 70s. It certainly is informative, it's entertaining, but I have to ask you, Kevin, I mean, do you think it glorifies the uglier aspects of NFL football in the 70s and 80s?
It's open to that idea. My idea in working on the book was that we can celebrate the great games, the competition, the terrific characters, but at no point should any fan or reader forget the toll that the game took on the players in those days. And it's going to be the next frontier of sports science as to why some people are so prone to concussions and to the damage that lasts for years and years afterward, and others are not. And one of the major players in the book is Phil Villapiano, the toughest nails linebacker for the Raiders, and before games he would knock his head on a cement wall so that it swells up a little bit and his helmet fits better. Now, Phil Villapiano is more lucid, actually, than I am today. He's as healthy as can be. But other men his age are senile at 50, don't even make it to 50, are stuck in a wheelchair. And this is a generation that wasn't set for life because they played in the NFL. The money wasn't that big yet. And that's why I think the players organization, the players union today, the NFLPA, the league itself, and fans too, need to push for better medical care and better pensions, a way to remember the players who really built the game.
You know, Kevin, there's no doubt, you know, being a pro football player, just the major toll that it takes on your body, your brains, and you highlight so many former players that are legends, really, in the game. You know, Franco Harris, Terry Bradshaw, Ken Snake Stabler, Roger Staubach, and Joe Montana. You know, so many fascinating stories that you were able to recount. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the guys?
I was very interested. You know, I happen to be a guy who wasn't so crazy about America's team, but not only in the 70s when I was little, but later that was that kind of highfalutin Texas approach.
Uh-huh.
And I would have liked a more lunch bucket teams. I wound up talking to two very memorable, important Dallas Cowboys of those days, kind of Alpha and Omega, Staubach and Thomas Hollywood Henderson.
Oh, yeah.
And you couldn't have a better conversation than Roger Staubach. Such a very smart, incisive thinker. He gave me a great talk about leadership. He was also, not only did he skip the first few years of his career to serve his hitch in the Navy, but he was one of the ones who was smart enough to realize after a couple of very serious concussions, if I'm going to be healthy later in my life, it's time to retire. And he did. Hollywood Henderson was enjoying some substances that were not kosher and still on. He did go on to, he really messed his career up and got drummed out of the game, turned his life around later, and of course won some $30 million in the Texas lottery after that. So somebody was looking out for Hollywood Henderson. Just to follow the stories of these men, both during their careers and after, was one of the great things of working on the last Headbangers.
Well, you know, I've had the privilege to interview both of them, Roger Staubach and Thomas Hollywood Henderson. In fact, he won the lottery twice, which was amazing. But, you know, when we rattle off and talk about some of these players, in your mind, is this the greatest generation of football players?
I think the way that we talk about the World War II generation being the quote-unquote greatest generation, I think if you've got to select one in NFL history, you couldn't go wrong taking these players of the 70s who sacrificed a lot to build the game. It was also such a thrilling time that they played in, and you can't charge them with playing for millions of dollars. They weren't at that point yet. They played for each other, for their teammates, for their families, also for money. There was a pretty good check at the time, but I think it was such a vivid time for them as well as for the fans that they would think twice about playing in today's game, even though the money is 100 times as much.
Okay, we got to tell an Oakland Raiders story here because, you know, Tom Flores, he's been on my program many times before in the past, but what was that, taking, like, testosterone from the horse racing track? I mean, what was going on with that?
It did happen, and Tom Flores was one of a good conversation for this book. Of course, he takes the team, he had quarterbacked the Raiders before this period and then takes them to the Super Bowl afterward, but he was there throughout. It's one of the most vivid things, pictures that I have from working on the book, the image of a jar of horse testosterone in the locker room. And you can tell that's what it is because it has a picture of a horse on the label. It comes from the local racetrack. And in those days, players are eager to get just as much of it as the trainer would give to a 1,500-pound horse. This is probably not the sensible thing to do with your body, but there were so many substances going into them and so much contact and violence going on. It's in some ways a miracle that as many of them made it out of the 70s healthy as they did.
That's true. Kevin Cook, award-winning sports writer and author, is along with us. He's written many books. This one is very compelling. It is titled The Last Headbangers, NFL Football in the Rowdy and Reckless 70s, the era that created modern sports. And I thought one of the chapters that was really terrific and you were so spot on is the way football was covered, you know, back in the day, you know, on Monday Night Football. Tell us about that as far as Dandy Don Meredith, Frank Gifford, and Howard Cosell.
It was such a vital thing for the growth of the game, and Pete Rozelle, the commissioner, had shopped Monday Night Football to CBS and NBC. They had no interest. Primetime football, what a crazy idea. Finally, he goes to the third place network called the Also Broadcasting Company, ABC, and then they took a chance on it. It was such a brilliant idea to make it an entertaining spectacle. You don't even need a good game. if you've got Dandy Don and Howard and Frank Gifford in the booth. You've got a sports spectacle that we've come to take for granted, but it was brand new at the time. A brilliant technical coverage of the game, many more cameras than ever before. Jazzy kind of disco, early disco-ish music, magnificent halftime show. In those days, you didn't even see highlights of the games on Sunday until the halftime on Monday night. It was all new, and in so many ways, the things that we take for granted in today's NFL, they were all being invented at that time, and it's, to me, what makes it such an exciting period.
Yes, and it really galvanized as far as millions of football fans and created more. And one of the stories you got to talk about, what Howard Cosell, what was he doing? He was drinking on air?
Oh, well, there was some of that. There was, yes, Howard was known to have a sip, I think, more as his career went on. He did get a little disenchanted with sports. He wanted to move on from what he called the jockocracy and hosted a program called Saturday Night Live. The Saturday Night Live that came along later had to wait to put the live in its name, had to wait for Howard Cosell's truly terrible variety program to go off the air. But yes, if you're Al Michaels and you spend a whole, the young Al Michaels, spend a whole game, the whole day, the whole preparation, all the way through the game, and you might like to have a little finger of vodka after the game from the bar that's at the ballpark not far from the booth, you might ask for that, but find that there is no more vodka because Mr. Cosell polished that bottle off. Now, I don't think that happened every night, but it wasn't unknown.
We are having a wonderful conversation with Kevin Cook. The title of his brand new book is The Last Headbangers, NFL Football in the Rowdy and Reckless 70s, the era that created modern sports. Kevin, tell all of our listeners where they can go and get this book online.
It's at Amazon, a very nice price at Amazon.com, but also if you've got an independent bookstore in your neighborhood, give them a break and buy the book there. Independent bookstores are fighting a valiant fight, and there's nothing wrong with Barnes & Noble either. Type Last Headbangers in to any browser and see what comes up.
I did want to ask you and take the opportunity, Kevin, while we have you on air, just, you know, the evolution. We've talked about that as far as with the game, with the players, and, you know, but what about the evolution of the rules, you know, to improve it, you know, reducing the risk of injury? We hear so much about that today, you know, to be able to identify that and to enforce it so that, you know, there's safety on the field.
I had a long conversation with Don Shula, who was a member of the competition committee that made the rules, still does, and they were very frank about, we need more points on the board. That's what fans like to see. We need to protect the quarterback, because the quarterback is the matinee idol here, to the degree that that a lot of players of the 70s don't think today's quarterback is even playing the same game as the rest of them. But it does keep players healthy, and I think there's going to be a move even more to limit helmet-to-helmet contact. That's already, I mean, that was something that was glorified in the 70s, and now it's not. That's a good thing. It's going to be hard to limit speedy contact, and just the mere fact that you change directions quickly, that's what causes concussions, and there's no helmet that can prevent that. So that's an issue that really looms over the game in the next 10 years.
Well, and I know so many former players that have actually been on our program, you know, from the 70s and the 80s. I mean, they're very passionate about this, that, you know, they've got to continue to establish, you know, a strong set of rules and focus on the player's safety. Okay, I promise, Kevin, my final question for you is, how about those Dallas Cowboys on Wednesday night? Go up and take care of business 24-17.
How about those Dallas Cowboys? I'm sitting in New York City, and it's not quite as upbeat at the beginning of the season as it was. I think a lot of Giants fans down through the second half are waiting. They're waiting for Tony Romo to make a mistake.
Uh-huh.
Didn't happen. So this is a very competitive division. You know, the Giants came out of nowhere last season. Maybe this is the Cowboys' turn at last.
Yep, the Cowboys, they waited all year for another shot at the Giants, and they certainly were able to take care of business on that season opener. It was, certainly was a fun game to watch. Kevin, congratulations on your book, and we look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Thanks so much, Alyssa.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment.